All right, guys, welcome to The Pulse. This is the first time we've been back in the studio for a while, and I'm glad because we've got great guests who have done a lot of different things. I want to get right to the discussion. We've got Philly guy, comedian, actor, friend of the station, Mr. Chuck Nice. Welcome to The Pulse.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
And astrophysicist, TV host, podcast, the Hayden Planetarium.
Director.
Director.
Of the Hayden Planetarium.
Okay. Director of the Hayden.
Why you gotta correct the man? Let the man introduce.
Hey, listen, man. It's his own show. Listen. I know it's his show, but you gotta get the credits right, man.
He's not wrong. Well, you know? He's not wrong.
It ain't like you're not a greeter at the Hayden Planetarium.
Welcome to the planetarium.
Right. Like, he's been to the Hayden Planetarium.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of the Hayden Planetarium.
Right. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And you prompted me just before we went live for me to say, welcome to the Pulse. With Bill Anderson.
I like it.
Nice.
Like
that's
it.
My planetarium voice.
Yeah, well,
how that works.
Now you got to sign a release that says they can't just make that the new voice of the show. You know that, right? Because now you're going to end up like, what was the guy's name? The black guy on CNN?
Oh, yeah.
This is CNN.
No, this is CNN.
Wow, nice.
Right, yeah.
Who is that?
That's Darth Vader.
Right?
That's Darth Vader, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And they just took it.
No,
took it, rolled with it.
Yeah, because there was a deleted scene in Star Wars where he said, "This is CNN." Yeah.
So as I was saying,
Bill, delight to meet you. Thank you for having us on your show.
But I was saying before we started that I had no idea how this was going to go. We normally just sit down and talk, but because you guys do that anyway and have hit shows and podcasts and touring, I kind of felt like I might be the guy who's sitting in on your show.
You're the odd man out.
Right?
What do we need you to? We don't need
exactly
him.
Exactly, right.
we sit there.
All right, welcome to Star Talk, ladies and gentlemen.
As long as y'all keep talking, then I can go ahead and go.
We good.
And we're going to run through all of it. But what we do when we start here, and we can go with both of you, with people who have accomplished so much and are doing so many things.
That would be Neil.
I would. You too.
I try myself. Listen, I try never to be in the same, like, comparison category. Like, the people say, Neil, this is Neil deGrasse Tyson. And then they're going to give you 5 pages of accomplishments, right? 30 books that have been authored, right? The many, many television shows that have been hosted, right? The speakers tour, the director of the Hayden Planetarium, and then there is co-host Chuck Nice, and it's like he tells jokes about his penis, like, okay, so yeah.
Now imagine for a second how I'm feeling right now. Because you just talked about feeling that way sitting next to him, but I'm sitting next to both of you. And I don't have 20 years in the game and comedian and actor or whatever. So let's hype us all up.
Okay. Let me offer a cosmic perspective on this.
Yes.
Okay. So when I'm introduced, the last thing I want them to do is to recite my resume.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because you know what that implies? That implies, okay, here's someone we're going to talk to, and you need to listen to them because of this resume.
Okay.
When I would rather simply just say compelling things and have that be why you want to keep listening. If you're going to say, this guy has a PhD, so I'm going to listen, it must be true. No, there's a lot of boneheaded PhD people out there, and I don't want my pedigree to be the reason why you choose to listen to me. I want to know at the end of the day that I said things that are interesting, compelling, and that ideas and thoughts that may influence you in a way to become perhaps a better citizen, a better participant in shaping the civilization that we're on the brink of destroying. Let it be because of something I said in that moment. So I'm not interested in my pedigree. I never.
It's very easy to say that when you are Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, right? Isn't that funny how it works out? Isn't it funny how it works out?
I feel the same
right,
way.
It's like I don't want people to listen to me because of my pedigree, right? Because when your pedigree is, yo, I'm Charlie, I got some stuff to say, I sit at the end of the bar, right?
No, I would listen to Charlie. See, this is my point. I give Charlie some audience.
The truth is, you would. See,
I would.
That's why people relate.
That's true.
I would so find out what Charlie had to say.
You know what? I wish he wasn't telling the truth because I would call so much BS. You know what I mean?
But he's that guy.
He is the guy that would actually sit and talk to Charlie and then say, "Well, Charlie, have you ever considered this?" Right? That's because I've seen it happen.
How did this happen? Like, I know the history, but you guys, how did you come together, this pairing, and do something like Star Talk?
We've had Chuck for so long as my co-host on Star Talk. I do not remember how he appeared at all. He's just kind of always been there, okay?
No, he didn't have an answer for this.
That is hilarious.
Chuck, where the hell did you come from? How did you show up on my damn show? I wasn't looking for you.
I'm actually an alien, and this is my cover.
How'd you get there?
No, the truth is that, who starts a statement like that?
I know, you know? Right? Because everything else you say is a lie. Let me tell you the truth.
Right. To be honest,
I hate it when people say that. Yeah.
To be honest, because I never do that.
Right.
There was a booker for Star Talk, which, you know, Neil came up with the concept to have the cosmos and comedians come together as a means of reaching the masses, right? And they got this grant, from what I understand.
Yeah, from the National Science Foundation, to so test the idea that science can be a commercial product and not just something you have to beg for money every quarter to try to support as a radio show. Right.
Brilliant idea, brilliant. Mm-hmm. And whoever was working with the show at that time, 10 or 11 years ago, had seen me on something. And they were like, that guy is really funny. Okay. And I got a call. Now, mind you, I was a fan of Neil's back then. He was the Nova guy to me back then.
I hosted a spinoff of PBS Nova called Nova Science Now.
Nova Science Now.
A little more hip, a little more sort of come chill with us, rather than the disembodied narrator describing science.
So, I mean, if you were a nerd, you knew who Neil was. Yeah, he had a big fan base already. You know what I mean? He had been doing a lot of TV.
I never considered myself a nerd, but
I called him the Black Carl Sagan back then, right? You know, I was like, you know, and I got a call from this person, and I thought it was my friend Carlos making fun of me because I was a fan. And it was like, "Oh, do you know Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson?" I was like, "Yes, Carlos, I know Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson." And he would like you to come into his office and speak for that. And I was like, "Yeah, right."
Stop playing.
I was like, "Get the F out of here," you know. But it was. And so when we came in, we were supposed to, all I remember is this. We were supposed to meet for 15 minutes, and we talked for about an hour. And at the end of that hour, he was just like, "Well, I'm not sure."
That's what's not. Okay, so some of this is coming back now that he said just to be clear, this grant from the National Science Foundation, the proposal said, we think if we combine science with pop culture and humor and create three strands of a new kind of DNA species, we may be able to bring this to the public in such a way that it could stimulate its own sponsorships and ad time and all the rest of the things that advertisers look for that keep anything else going on the air. Mm-hmm. This is before streaming services and things. This is how old, it's about 13 years ago.
Oh, you know, 13 back before we had Netflix, and you certainly didn't chill.
Either before or after or during Netflix.
Right.
So there was that, and so then we said, well, how do we know what best humor would work? So those conversations I had with many comedians, and we were really testing the chemistry. Is this, do I want a comedian that just has one-liners? No, I want someone who's smart, who can see the science, see the pop culture, and reveal what might be humorous about that in ways that releases that burden from me. I think I can occasionally be funny, but if I have a professionally funny person, I can stick with the science. And then this eternal woven braid of the science, the pop culture, and the humor would then become the birth of what did become the birth of Star Talk. And Star Talk, we've been going for 13 years.
When you hear that in theory, and that discussion comes up, and we're going to take science and try to make it funny and come together, and everybody will really like that show. Did you even believe that? Because it works. I mean,
Okay. I knew it would work because I was already doing it.
Yeah.
In my in my public lectures.
Yeah.
In my, what I found was, you know, I'd be on an airplane. Before I was widely known, I just, you're sitting next to someone in the airplane. What do you do? I'm an astrophysicist. They start asking questions. And I'd monitor how bright were their eyes and their eyebrows when I'd give an answer. Yeah. And depending on what the answer was, they would look a little less interested. They'd look a little more. And if I linked the universe to pop culture, something that they already knew, because what is pop culture? That I don't have to explain pop culture to them. By definition, that's what pop culture is. So that's a scaffold they already show up at the doorstep with. Now, if I can take science and clad that scaffold, then they will remember that science because I made it relevant to something they care about inherently as a citizen of society. Then, if I said something a little bit funny, a little bit thing, they would like laugh and then want to come back for more.
And Neil is funny, which, by the way, people, when you meet me, don't tell me how funny Neil is. Okay? I'm just letting you know. I can't tell you how many people are just like, oh, man, I love you guys. You know, Neil is really funny. I'm like, shut the hell up.
That's my job on the show.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Tell me how smart he is.
Ain't nobody coming to him like, yo, I love your show with Chuck. You know, that guy's brilliant. And that's just not happening, right?
So you guys have almost tricked people into caring about science and things like that.
Well, there's a little bit of that. So here's something that we evolved from, okay, because there was a lot of experimenting going on. We still experiment. But we thought initially, and it's still partly true, that we'd get celebrities on, okay, and interview celebrities, no matter what makes them a celebrity, a singer, actor, didn't matter. We would find science that touched their lives and then analyze that science. And so you would come for the celebrity, but he'd end up staying for the science and the humor. And so that's, I don't want to call that a trick, but it was a ploy, in a sense, to get people interested. We would later find out that the celebrity, even if they were high-level celebrity, added very little additional value to people's interest in the show. I've had Bill Clinton. I've had, who's our guy, Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
I mean, that was great, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah, he's brilliant. I had
LeVar Ball.
Crosby. David Crosby.
Katie, what's her face?
What do you mean, Katie, what's her face?
Katie, what's her face? She's beautiful and she sings. Oh, God, I'm so old.
Oh, okay. Katie Perry?
What's her name?
No. Katy Perry. Katy Perry. Yeah. She was on the show.
Yeah.
But it turned. So here it is.
So she was on the show.
Here's what happened. What happened was. So we have to find a science angle. Right. So it turned out one of her songs, she wrote about amorous emotions she felt for an alien who landed. I thought, I can make something out of that.
Very Captain Kirk. Very.
But you have to be a certain kind of person to make something out of
it. Well, she composed the song.
Because us watching are still Googling the word you use. Well, she wrote a song.
She wrote a song where she wanted to bone an alien, right? Yeah. So it was.
Now I get it.
Oh, now you get it.
Now I get it.
Okay, sorry.
Make it plain.
Okay.
Chuck, you didn't know how to tell me how to translate for this man.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's why we're all here together.
No, so we talked about aliens and DNA. Is it just a Earth thing? Or what would encode the identity of an alien? So I got a little biology in there. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, I was a little bit her tutor because she's incompletely educated. She was on her father was a touring preacher. Or there's a different word for that. We just go to different towns, evangelists, and you pitch tent in another town, and then you keep going once you set that up.
So better known as a grifter.
Okay. So
I take it back. People. Yeah, okay.
Not as nice.
Yeah, not all traveling preachers are grifters. Okay, sorry.
So
just 90% of them.
This segment is brought to you by.
she had a youthful curiosity about all that she didn't know. Mm-hmm. And as an educator, I can only respond with joy in the presence of such eager inquisitiveness. but all the world that surrounds her. And so she even asked a question. She said, there's so many people in the world. Might there be a day where we run out of souls? And I thought, whoa. Mm. I said, whoa.
Yes, and does the stork actually bring babies? Does it? No, because it doesn't look like it's strong enough to carry a baby.
Chuck, this was an honestly posed question.
It is.
It was completely honest. And then I had to think about it. And I said, well, maybe we recycle souls. There have been 100 billion people ever born. And we only got about 8 billion in the world today. So that's 92 billion souls.
That's a lot of souls.
That ain't been used. That right. Maybe we could reuse them. Or if soul is not a physical thing, then everyone just gets a fresh new soul, no matter what. If that's how you want to
think about it. That's called the Oprah soul. Yeah. No. And you get a soul. And you get a soul. And you get a soul.
And you got one under your seat. You got a soul
that's
under
right.
your seat.
So under your
I was watching clips and watching the show and listening to the podcast and whatever. Uh-huh. And no matter what question is presented, there is kind of a way that you find the answer to.
Thank
it,
you for you recognizing that's it. An important dimension of this. And we learned that the question from the public to get an authentic answer, even if the question's a little offbeat, has become I don't want to call it a spinoff. It's one of the formats of what we do in the show. Yeah. It's called Cosmic Queries. Yeah. And it's great because Chuck collects the questions. I've not seen them. They're solicited from our fan base, and the question gets asked, and then I answer it on the spot. If I don't have an answer, I'll just say, I don't know. Or I'll say, I don't have that answer, but I have here's something else that you might be interested in. And people resonate with that, and I'm delighted because I'd like to believe, however delusionally, that we are, through Star Talk, through Chuck's humor, through what we piece together here, that we are fanning long, dormant embers of curiosity within you that may have lurked since childhood, but you forgot they're there. And when you fan an ember, you can ignite it once again. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, the world then becomes your playground once again.
You take the questions and participate. I feel like in watching the show, you're all of us.
Well, yeah, I am.
Because I feel like you're kind of there and you
because
have
I am not an astrophysicist. Not an astrophysicist.
Therefore,
I am all of everybody.
But I watched a couple times and your reaction when you were explaining things, your reaction was exactly what I was doing looking at the screen. You know, so I'm going, oh. but you get the follow-up question. Any just question that was too ridiculous for you two to address?
Well, no, I thought it was ridiculous. And Neil turned it into, I don't know how, but the question became, it turned into Superman's flatulence.
Oh, no, the question was. The question was, thanks for asking. Yeah. I forgot all about it. The question was, if Superman is super in every way, then is his digestive system super? Does he need super food to feed his super body? And that got us talking about the digestive system. And that led to an exchange that to this day I can't watch without tearing up laughing.
Because, Neil basically talked about how, you know, of course, your bodily gas, when you emit it, it's methane. And so if he has the eyes, the laser eyes.
Don't you skip an important part here.
Oh, okay.
So when you eat food, okay, down deep in your gut, there's no oxygen. So you have what's called anaerobic metabolism, because they're bacteria that do fine with no oxygen. Okay, it's anaerobic. That's the opposite of aerobic. All right, you remember that's an old word for what they now call cardio in the gym. If you're aerobic, you're burning oxygen. If you're not burning oxygen, you're anaerobic. Everything in your gut is anaerobic. It has multiple gaseous byproducts, one of which is methane, which is the gas that comes out of your gas stove. If you live in a city, in suburbs, it might be propane, but methane, common gas, comes out, okay?
Okay.
It comes out both ends, especially in cows. Okay. So, methane, you know, is flammable. This is what started the old camp rumor. Let's light your farts, okay?
That's not a rumor.
No.
Okay. That's science.
Right. That's totally. I'm
gonna teach you a little science.
The idea that one would want to do that has authentic chemical thermodynamic causes. Okay. So if Superman had super food, that means he has super digestive tract, which means he'd have super gases coming out his rear end. And then Chuck took over. Chuck couldn't stop.
No, I thought it was done. Hilarious. But no,
that was the end of my answer. But right. Apparently Chuck was not but done.
No, it was Neil's idea that he could actually use his laser vision to ignite his own.
Oh, I thought about that. That's right. So if you do that and you have a fart that's high methane, he could use his X-ray eyes because he uses not only his X-ray eyes, but he can burn stuff with his vision. Right. So he'd have to turn around,
right.
lay out a sustained fart and ignite it with his vision.
Right.
And I said it would be a new weapon that in the arsenal of Superman.
And then I just imagine Superman with one of those like onesies on, because he's almost wearing a onesie anyway,
yeah.
Right. Except it has the button, two buttons right where the butt is. You know? And then he takes down that flap.
And it rolls down and rolls the drawer. And he looked back.
Right. You know? So
it's a built-in flamethrower.
Right.
So
take that, Mr. Freeze.
He got a new weapon.
Mr. Freeze. Yeah, that would totally take out Mr. Freeze. So it's a new weapon in Superman's arsenal. The point is, science is so rich in what it touches that almost any question can be addressed scientifically in a serious enough way so you can still learn mm-hmm. some science, some chemistry, biology, whatever, mm-hmm. to the extent that I know chemistry and biology in addition to astrophysics. I don't claim expertise there. If we have a topic that's on biology, I bring in a biology expert or a right. chemistry. I don't claim that expertise. I know it enough to be conversant. But when we do that, then you find out all the ways and places and times and fun applications of the laws of physics.
Do you guys, the way we are right now in society, there is a weird, this might be one serious question. There's a weird line between science and opinion and people trying to act as if their opinion is science. And you, as a comedian, address it. You as astrophysicist and
don't get me start.
Well, but it's real. Like, I wonder how frustrating it is for both of you in doing the show.
It's more frustrating for Neil.
Okay, because we do live in a, because he doesn't, my opinion is more important than science.
Right. So he and all of his ilk, they refuse to call people stupid.
Yeah, that's true.
You are a dumbass. That's what your problem is, that you believe that because you feel a certain way, that's what it is.
It's my duty as an educator to figure out a way to not call someone a dumbass, but give them a path of thinking where they can dig out of this hole that they put themselves in, or the YouTube thread put them in, okay. or their people they hang out with.
Or Joe Rogan.
So I'll just say, something like...
We keep it real.
I'd say something like, if you overate this week and you're a few pounds heavier, you cannot protest the law of gravity and object to its effect on your body, because the nature is the ultimate judge, jury, and executioner, and it is not subject to your opinion at all. And so I try to give examples that would be absurd even to the person who believes the absurd thing, so that they can see and look back on whatever it was they were thinking was not... that they thought was real because they wanted it to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And if I give enough other examples, there's a chance you can pull them away into a center line point. Here's one.
See, what I do is go, good luck, dumbass. That's what I do.
But sometimes you need the balance. Yeah. Like, sometimes you need both. Yeah. That's why.
So Chuck, what you're telling me is, I say things all politely, but you're standing on my shoulder translating.
There you go. Because
right there on screen.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's this whole idea of what is supposed to be the marketplace of ideas, but you know, that marketplace is basically like a wet market in Wuhan. Okay. You know, it ain't Whole Foods. It's supposed to be Whole Foods.
It's not.
The marketplace of ideas should be Whole Foods, okay. Where, you know, okay.
Somebody's like, "What'd you just say?"
Yeah, exactly. That was, you know, that was the Chinese government coming. That's who that was. We're like, "We know where you are.
We heard you.
We know where you are.
The missiles are coming in a minute."
Exactly.
So it's a I'll just give an example. Mm-hmm. So there are some people out there who are pretty sure we've never went to the moon.
Right.
Okay.
I actually had that down on my list of questions people asked me to ask.
You did. Okay. Yeah. So I have two responses to that. One of them is kind of fun, tongue-in-cheek. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'll give them both. Okay. So the first tongue-in-cheek one is, okay, NASA, in fact, wanted to fake the moon landing. So they got Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin to agree to fake it, okay? But then they got some set designers and others from Hollywood, and they said, you know, in order to fake this the best way, we should film this on location. And so NASA said, okay, we'll fake it on location. And so they went to the moon to
fake the moon landing.
That's great. All right.
Now, let me tell you something.
What?
See that answer right there? It is clever, mm-hmm. and it may be impactful.
Right.
But really, what he said was, why are you such a dumbass?
He did. But you
did. No.
That's really what the answer was.
Okay, here it is.
We all heard it.
Everybody watching.
No.
And the person you said that to left feeling it.
No. So here, another one. So you look at the Saturn V rocket. Mm-hmm. It's 36 stories tall. Only in the very top are the three astronauts sitting with their ass on top of a hole. It's basically rocket fuel all the way down. Okay? You can calculate how much fuel that is. That's enough fuel to get them into orbit, to leave orbit, go to the moon, orbit the moon, land on the moon, come back into orbit, leave the moon, and come back to Earth. That's how much fuel is in there.
Okay.
We all saw the rocket launch. Where the hell do you think it was going?
They
go shopping at Whole Foods?
Once around the park, James.
And if you're going to fake the moon landing, you'd have to fake hundreds of thousands of pages of engineering drawings and all the experimental tests. And all, you have to fake all of that. And I'm saying, that's harder than just going to the moon.
Yeah, but the same people will sit back and say, well, I did my own research. And my research tells me that it didn't happen like that. I'm going to throw some rapid fire questions at you. But first,
do you want rapid fire answers?
They don't have to be. Okay. I mean, y'all got places to be. I'm at work.
Okay, all right.
As long as we want. Star Talk is a podcast, Star Talk's a TV show, Star Talk Live.
Okay, so thanks. So Star Talk started out as terrestrial radio 13 years ago. Terrestrial. Remind people what that is. It's like old-fashioned radio, right? And then we went to podcast, and while we were podcast, we got popular enough that it went to television and National Geographic. It became the very first ever commercial science talk show, all right? And so there it was on television. And while you weren't looking, Fox bought National Geographic, and then Disney bought Fox. Mm-hmm. Okay, that all happened while nobody was looking. Okay, so
we were looking.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, this is Fox.
That's right.
We were looking. Fox,
right.
We were
looking. Fox 29.
Our direct deposit was looking.
Yeah. So, in that transition, so we did 4 seasons with National Geographic. Then Disney came over, and then that relationship ended. But we kept going as a podcast. We just won.
A Webby.
Just
saw
like
that on
minutes ago. Right.
Oh,
right.
Really?
I mean, I learned like two, three days ago. Yeah. Right.
Awesome.
Right. So we're very happy. We have a very avid, supportive fan base. And so we also decided let's occasionally take it on the road. So the Star Talk Live, we just go to a city, into a theater, major theater. Going to be at the Keswick Theater tonight. I don't know when this is going to air, but it doesn't matter. We have a post.
It's sold out anyway.
It's sold out anyway. It doesn't matter.
But please, still try to buy tickets.
Is there merch?
We have merch available.
There is merch.
There is merch.
So you can go by and get merch.
Yeah, we're even selling MAGA hats. Okay, a red hat. Okay, but it says, let's make America smart again. But you got to get close up to see that, right?
Right.
Because you'll say, oh, we got another Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Which is why I always wear that hat in a white neighborhood.
Yeah. I was about to say, be careful.
Yeah. I put it on. As soon as I get to North Philly, I take it off.
Y'all are all surprised that everywhere you go, you're playing the sold out live shows. I mean, it's like people who are sitting in to pay money to watch the conversation.
Yeah, it is a little weird. And I don't know that I'll ever grow accustomed to it. because it's you know, a comedian will either sell out or not, but the parameters are well understood, right? Are you funny enough? Do you have enough exposure?
Right.
But to bring science to a stage in a conversation and have people give up their Wednesday night or their Thursday night to do this, I will never take that lightly. And I deeply feel and appreciate that enthusiasm, and I see it as my ongoing duty to serve it.
I see it as maybe y'all should pay some more money. Because this is very good. This is great entertainment, and you walk away knowing more than you did when you came in. You
learn something for a change.
Right, you
what you're saying is since it's sold out, we could up the price. And
that's
still
what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, Mr.
Up the price.
Mr.
Businessman.
Exactly. Echo 101. Yeah, yeah, all right.
It's all right. My brother, you've answered this a couple of different times, but my brother wants to know about extraterrestrials, and he wanted me to ask you directly about the existence of them.
I'm not authorized to comment further on that question. That. Your next question.
The government told me.
Moving on to the next question.
Yeah, next question. No, what does he want to know?
Do you, I mean, you've already said, but do you believe that they exist? And then part of
is. Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But you also, in watching the show, you also believe that our interpretation of what they must be is skewed.
Well, possibly. So let me just be clear. If you rank the ingredients of the universe from the periodic table of elements, there's hydrogen, there's carbon, oxygen, nitrogen, top ingredients in the universe. That's what we're made of. So life on Earth is opportunistically comprised of the most common ingredients in the universe. Fact one. Fact two, life on Earth got started almost as soon as it possibly could have, based on the fossil record. So whatever challenges we have creating life in the lab, Earth had no such challenges, okay? Three, the universe is old. It's three times older than our solar system. So if you're going to run around and say, we're the only life in the universe, you have no foundation other than your unjustified ego on which to base that assumption.
Hmm?
So let me put that out there. Yep. Second, you want to know who we've been visited? I would ask, and is the government like somehow controlling?
Covering it up.
Do you really think the government is that competent? Just think this through. Just, right. just
that they could hide an alien landing.
Right. Does the government control all the airspace of the world?
Right.
We have 3 billion. I'm going to say that again. 3 billion. In a Carl Sagan sort of way.
Yeah, it kind of lingered out
there. Yeah, that one.
Billion.
Okay. That's a bigger number than just 3 billion.
Right.
Okay. Billion. We have 3 billion smartphones in the world.
Right.
We have a built-in way to crowdsource high-resolution video imagery of any alien invasion. Yet somehow the aliens are only entering restricted Navy airspace, revealing themselves only to F-18 pilots. This is not tenable. Plus, Area 51, I've been there. I'm on the outside, okay? I don't know what they're doing in there, but I'll tell you this, that if they had aliens, the janitor would have taken a photo of it by now. And how do I know that? Because the janitor would have lost their job the next day. But you post that on the internet? Look, right. Cat videos go viral overnight. You know a janitor video of an alien getting dragged, his ass dragged into Area 51. That'll be an out-of-work janitor who the next day will be the richest, most famous janitor there ever was. And you're going to tell me everybody's keeping this a secret? It's easier for me to believe that we've actually been visited by aliens than it is for me to believe that we've been visited by aliens, but the U.S. government has kept it a secret.
My answer is dinosaurs are from another planet, and now they're not here. So, no.
Okay. This is called Chuck logic.
Chuck. Come on, that was funny. Because that's how people, this is the kind of, that's my point is, this is the kind of logic that people use to connect dots that aren't connectable.
But again, they did their own research.
Right.
They
did
their own research. You got to embrace it. Right. Honestly, you guys got things to do. I could sit here and talk to you guys.
But you said you have more questions here, but knock them out.
There were a couple.
Knock out some more, go.
The concept of all the things we've seen in the movies, Armageddon, there's always the asteroid, the global ender that we keep talking about. It's a basis for every movie that's out there.
No. That's not the basis for, you know what the basis of every one of those disaster movies is?
What's that?
Okay. They begin by government officials ignoring the advice of scientists. That's every true. One of those movies begins that way.
And by the way, not to be too serious here, but we're living that movie right now, people. Yes. We are literally living that movie right now.
It's a true story, though. They do ignore all the advice.
Right. Plus, Armageddon, by my measure, violated more laws of physics per minute than any other film ever made.
Really?
Yeah.
Bruce Willis can't just drill? That's not real.
Drill, Brucey, drill.
Right. Like, put down your drink. You got to go to space right quick.
Plus, I'm thinking it'd be easier to train astronauts to drill than to train oil drillers to be astronauts. I'm just thinking. That's just, I don't want to, you know. Yeah. But I'm just thinking.
I'm let facts mess with your opinion.
Right.
I also saw you guys talking about lightsabers, and we were all coming up as kids and wanted lightsabers. Another person tweeted at us, is that technology? It seems like we would already have that technology. Do we even?
I'm not authorized to comment on that. Actually, I served on a board of the Pentagon. It's called the Defense Innovation Board, where we talked about frontier innovative methods, tools, and tactics in the service of the U.S. military. Mm-hmm. That's why I can't talk any further about this. But what I can say is, if you allow, we can certainly make lasers that are multiply reflective so that there's a length to it that you can dial up that would cut through things, yes. But to have
very expensive bread knife.
Yeah, and it's like, why?
But it toasts it while you cut it. Okay? No, Seth.
That's worth it.
Take that to Shark Tank, see if we can get that funded, right? So here's a point. If I have a weapon that powerful, I'm not going to shorten its length. I'm going to make it really long and cut you at a distance. Mm. Why is it that they have these gun weapons that shoot whatever it is, these light bullets, yet I still have to walk straight up to you and have a swashbuckling fight?
Right.
True.
Whole point of modern weaponry is I never have to stand that close to you.
And it does no more damage than a sword.
Right, exactly.
It's basically just the
blaster.
Yeah,
the blaster is basically the better version of a lightsaber.
Right. So it's just odd that we would have sword fights in the future when you have any weapon at all that can send a projectile from where you are to where your target is. A bow and arrow would be more effective than the lightsaber. Okay? Based on how they're displaying this. But anyway, I got into a Twitter fight with my friend and colleague Brian Cox over. By the way, he's in the USA right now on a tour. He has a theater show called Horizons. A huge imagery and everything. But anyway, he's my counterpart in the UK. Okay. I got into a Twitter fight because I said lightsabers are, they could have energy in them, but they can't bounce off each other the way swords would. Light, just, you tried it with flashlights. They just pass right through each other. He said that's not necessarily true. And then a whole Twitter thread built in behind that. Nerd fight. So it was funny. So I said, what do you mean it's not? And he said, well, if it's high enough gamma rays, then gamma rays can interact. And then they would give a sensation of a bouncing off. And he spelled that out. And I said, okay, I concede. Mm-hmm. Yes, I got out nerded. But by the way, the nerd spectrum knows no edges. However nerdy you think you are, there's someone nerdier than you, not much more than arm's length away.
I saw that. I just
and twice as annoying.
No,
I stay out of those. Lines. I sat there. I was like, look, Sixers game's on. I can't get involved. Yeah. Gentlemen, this has been a pleasure. I appreciate you guys spending time with us.
Oh, thanks for the show.
The Pulse.
The Pulse.
You guys get closing words. You want to start? Closing words. We try to give people a message, inspiration, or just something funny, whatever you want to do.
You know, I'm going to give you a message.
By the way, he gave you latitude to not be funny.
Yeah. So here's my message. Good luck, dumbass. No, I'm joking. Here's my message.
You know we're going to edit.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I know. And like, that's going to be the end of it.
Right? Roll credit.
No, climate change is real. Do something about it. That's all I have to say.
In life and in the universe, it is always best to keep looking up.
Look at that. Mic drop.
Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, Bill, thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
All right.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to The Pulse today with Chuck Nice and Neil deGrasse Tyson. That was just fun. And to think that these two guys have found a way to make extremely interesting topics into something that you just enjoy, answering questions, spreading information. I really enjoyed it. I hope you did as well. And remember, you should first subscribe to The Pulse so that you get notified every time a new podcast comes out every week. Second, if you want to watch on TV and you're in Philadelphia, you can check us out Monday evenings at 6:30 on Fox 29. And nationally, you can check us out 9 p.m. on Fox Soul. It's always streaming online. Just search The Pulse with Bill Anderson. I appreciate you. We'll be back to do it again the same time next week. And until then, whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a great one.